Hello, Internet, and welcome back to another episode of JL Plays, the podcast with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him. Coming to you through your favorite podcast of choice, be it Spotify, Stitcher, or even Apple iTunes. And remember, giving this podcast 5 stars on iTunes helps this podcast grow by making it easier for others to find. And I also have a Patreon where you can support this podcast and help it become even better and bigger. I have different tiers for you, from just general support to extras, like hopefully we can get a few Patreons on board on the bigger tier and get some video support and make this a video podcast. And we also have exclusives, like exclusive episodes, like the minisodes that I release every once in a while. And you can also let me know what to watch and tell me what to put on in the next episode for you. And you get access to the next podcast a few days early. And don't forget that you can also reach me on Twitter at jlplays78 and also by email at jlplayspodcast@gmail.com to let me know what I got wrong, what I got right. Did you agree with me or didn't you agree with me? Let's have a conversation in one of these. And also, I have links for the things I review in the show notes, so don't forget about that. So, with all that being said, what will I be talking about this week? Well, this week, I will be talking about the Netflix's Resident Evil series. And also on Netflix, the anime Vinland Saga. And the movie The Black Phone. And like always, before we get started, let me just give you a little bit updates. If you heard my review of Ms. Marvel, then you know I was dead on right with the outcome of the last episode. Wow, color me not surprised. Wow, everything I described of what's going to happen in that episode happened. And that's just sad, honestly. I said it was going to be rushed. It was rushed. I said they wasn't going to give any character development, any character growth on anybody. Pretty much, and yeah, that's what happened. She just knows how to use her powers now all of a sudden with no excuses. Wow, that was such a disappointment. And also, I just finished fighting COVID. I was out of it. Luckily, I was vaccinated, so it didn't hit me as hard as it could have. But, oh my God, was that not a good feeling to be going through. Oh man, a whole week and a quarter wasted in a locked room. What a garbage. I couldn't even function for the most part. I just needed to lay in bed or try to get up and move around, but I couldn't do anything. But luckily, I'm back. It didn't affect me thanks to the vaccine and thanks to all the medicine that I was taking, all the antibiotics. And yeah, that's what my week's been up to. And with all that being said, let's get right into it with the first topic. Resident Evil series on Netflix.
Billy, Jade, welcome home.
I'd like to build the world a home.
I really think you guys are going to love it here.
And that was a quick trailer for Resident Evil, the Netflix series, starring Elia Belinskaya, Tamara Smart, Sienna Agudon, Adeline Rudolph, Joella Nunez, and the amazing Lance Riddick. And a quick synopsis for this horror TV series follows the Wester sisters as they discover secrets held by their father that may impact the entire world. The story takes place on two timelines. The first, when Jade is a teenager and the second is when she is in her 30s and only 15 million humans remain on the planet Earth as the T-virus rages and infects the population. And if any of you know or have watched the series, you already know that I mispronounced something there. And that is the Wester sisters. It is not the Wester. It is the Weskers. They are the Weskers. And just the fact that that is misspelled in their own synopsis of their own show tells you how much of a good series you're already going to expect. Now, this synopsis is from JustWatch.com, so I don't know where they got it from, but yeah, that's not a good start right there. But the series itself does have its moments of actually being a Resident Evil series and not being a CW TV show with, you know, a little bit of horror and blood thrown in. And quite honestly, that is the best explanation for this show. It is a wannabe CW because it mostly progresses through the, you know, the past timeline, not the future timeline. Because, you know, we need to know why this girl is, you know, fighting the T-virus. We need to give her a backstory or whatever. Actually, no, we don't. You just need to give us the freaking show that we want. The name of the show, which is Resident Evil. This is Cowboy Bebop all over again. This is people that think they know better and writing a story about something they know nothing about. Unfortunately for me, this is a big disappointment. The best part is I enjoy some of the scenes. I enjoyed the future timeline with all the zombies. Every time there was actual zombies being fought on screen, those were awesome scenes. And that's what Resident Evil is. Just awesome scenes of, you know, badass people fighting zombies. That's all we want to see. We don't want to see kids drama. We don't want to see a girl getting bullied, right? We don't want to see this crap takes place in I don't know what freaking continuity of the video games. Supposedly, from what I heard, it takes place. This follows the first 5 video games of the Resident Evil series, but the Resident Evil series, those 5 games are not part of this timeline. So it follows that timeline, but those games have nothing to do with this timeline. It doesn't translate to back and forth. They're like, what? That shit makes no fucking sense. And oh yes, just a little bit more on Resident Evil. Not to mention the horrible music, the Imagine Dragon bullshit, all these songs sucked. Like this, the music just took you out of the experience that you were trying to watch or they were trying to give you. All of a sudden you were popped in with this bootleg Imagine Dragon people or just Imagine Dragon themselves. This music is horrible. People need to stop using this. Please stop using this type of music in general forever. This is horrible. And also how stupid the characters are. How moronic they do things. They're supposed to be smart, but yet they fuck people over constantly. That, again, goes back to the teen drama crap. It's just horrible. Horrible writing, horrible everything. And I'm really saddened by it. It just really is that bad. And yeah, that's where this series disappointed me for all over. This was definitely a Cowboy Bebop scenario. Only difference is Cowboy Bebop, you didn't see the money on the screen. You saw the money on the screen here for the most part. There was a lot of scenes that looked like shit. But I'll tell you one thing. So there's a scene where in the future timeline where there's this fat guy who works for Umbrella. Character named Richard Baxter, played by Toloth Conroy, which is Toloth, but for mispronouncing your name. But that character in that scene where he had in the future timeline where he's just killing all these zombies being mad cool. I was like, yo, that is sick. That's what Resident Evil is. That right there, that whole sequence with this guy just destroying these zombies, doing these cool scenes, and he's a big dude, and I've never really seen a big dude move like that in an action film. They always play the clumsy, oh my God, I tripped and dropped my weapons guy, you know? And this is the first time I've seen a big dude actually be freaking awesome in an action movie or even a horror movie, for that matter. And yeah, for that scene alone, I love episode 4. But that scene alone does not make an entire series, unfortunately for us. And that's where I'm going to end it. This has a lot of glimpses of this is what Resident Evil is, but we're not going to give you that. We're going to give you a few minutes of that, and then that's it. We'll sprinkle it in here and there, but you're going to sit through our dribble. You're going to sit through our teenage drama that has nothing to do with actual Resident Evil. You're going to sit through our future timeline, the same teenage drama, but now they're adults. It's like, and then you start seeing things that like, does it make sense? Like, things don't add up. It's just bad writing all around. It is people that don't know nothing about the material they're writing about. It's like asking me to write a screenplay about freaking Harry Potter. And all I know about Harry Potter is that he's a wizard and his parents died. And he goes to Hogwarts and that's it. And then they go, here, write a screenplay. And you write the best screenplay you can out of that. Oh, and they tell you, oh yeah, name drop Hermione. Name drop Weasley. It's like, that's what this series is. And quite frankly, it sucks. There's even CG here from one of the zombie dogs that looks worse than the original Resident Evil from the original Resident Evil 1 movie starring Mila Jovovich. So, yeah. And that's where I'm going to end it. If you want to see Resident Evil, honestly, Raccoon City, or Welcome to Raccoon City, watch that. That is a great B-movie. At least there, they were trying to make a Resident Evil film. They didn't have the money for it, but they were trying to make a Resident Evil movie. A good one, but they just didn't have the money. Here, they have all the money in the world, and they made a damn CW product. But yeah, again, hard pass. Now that I've had time to think about it and, you know, run it through my paces, it's a hard pass, unfortunately. But I think this series might get picked up for a second season. I hope it doesn't. And if it does, let them be new writers. Let them be better writers that actually know the series. And with that, let's move on to the next one, which is also on Netflix, Vinland Saga, the anime. Now, that was a quick trailer for Vinland Saga, the anime, starring the voice talents of Billy Kamitz, Keith Silverstein, Ray Chase, Aguilera Clark, Kira Buckland, Zach Algler. Sorry if I mispronounce anybody's name. This code really is messing me up. I'm still feeling it. And Debbie Derryberry and Abby Trott. Just to name some of this large cast of characters and voice talents. And a quick synopsis for this is, for 1,000 years, the Vikings have made quite a name and reputation for themselves as the strongest families with a thirst for violence. Thorfinn, the son of one of the Vikings' greatest warriors, spends his boyhood in a battlefield, enhancing his skills in his adventure to redeem his most desired revenge after his father was murdered. And yes, the story is about Thorfinn, this young lad who's admired and loved his father greatly. And his father was a great Viking warrior in the past, called Thorin, I believe his name was. Sorry if I just don't remember right now. But his father had escaped and left the Vikings behind and moved to this remote place called Vinland, where Thorfinn has grown up. But unfortunately for him, well, fortunate for his father, I should say, he was still found out where he lived, and his king has sent for him for battle. But the person that sent for him, the Loki, get it? Thor and Loki? Yeah. Loki has made other plans to have him killed by these mercenaries. And, you know, he puts up a great fight, but unfortunately he dies. And he dies right in front of Thorfinn. And Thorfinn spends the rest of his young life and teenage years trying to kill the leader of the of those bandits. He ends up joining them. He ends up joining them to hone his skills on learning how to fight, how to become a warrior, and be able to kill their leader. And this series has 24 episodes total. And for me, it really wasn't enough. The last episode for me ended so abruptly with how it ended for Thorfinn's story. Like, it just, the thing happened, and then he's, you know, he leaves because of what happened, and then that's really it, you know? It just cuts to a montage, just things flashing by, and that's all that happens, and then we get credits, and it's quite frankly a bit disappointing in that respect, because I really wanted to see more. And the more it came closer to 24 episodes, I'm like, okay, I'm at episode 23. This has got to wrap up soon. how are they going to clear this up? How is he going to, you know, how is he going to get his revenge? Is it going to happen now? Are they going to have a second season? Or, you know, is this going to end up a cliffhanger? And from what I see, I don't see a second season happening. So, I have to stop this mic every... I have to stop this recording every few minutes because I just keep coughing and keep running out of breath. But yeah, but I am getting ahead of myself. You know, I want to talk more into spoilers. But I do want to say this before I do get into spoilers, is that definitely worth a watch. This came out in 2019. I just heard about it now because it's on Netflix. It just popped up on my, you know, recommendations. And yeah, I watched it, and definitely worth the watch. It's awesome series. It is very brutal because there is a lot of war and a lot of battle. There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of backstabbing. There's some political, you know, intrigue here and there. And yeah, it's just awesome. I highly, highly recommend it. If you haven't seen this, or if you saw it on your, you know, on your recommendations, and you were just skipping it because you didn't think it was going to be any good, yeah, give it a watch. You will definitely get into this series. And if you need an example of somebody that's not really into anime, I have a family member. I told him to watch this, right? He saw me watching some of it, and he's like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Maybe, you know, maybe later on. For him, later on is like never. And he ended up, for whatever reason, he ended up watching it, and he ended up doing the whole series, all 24 episodes, and he loved it. So yeah, that's definitely a big up for somebody that says, I'm gonna watch something, I'll get to it when I get to it. But here we go with spoilers.
Well, it does have,
yeah, spoilers.
So we're now into spoilers. And yeah, this series for me is just, again, very brilliantly well crafted. It's definitely, again, worth a watch. All the blood, all the gore, when he meets the prince for the first time. And the prince is just this little lad who's being protected by this guy. And the fact at the ending, it is not Thorfinn that kills his father's killer, but the prince, because of political situation of the prince's father trying to kill the prince, the young prince, because he wants his other son to have, you know, become ruler after he dies. So all tears Thorfinn down, he, you know, sobs, and then the series just ends like that pretty much. I just found it really shocking that it just ended that way. But we'll see. And yeah, him crying and sobbing down, looking at him, you know, screaming at him to get up because he's the one that has to kill him. He has to fight him in his duel. That was the agreement that they had. It's just, you know, kind of heartbreaking. And you know, understand the character well. The voice actors, the English voice actors on this did a great job for who they got. Unfortunately, they weren't Englishmen. They weren't Norse, you know, actual Europeans that they got to do the voice acting. But it was English. You know, they spoke very well. The voice actors that they get fit the roles good enough. So I enjoyed it very much because of it. I enjoyed it even more because of it. And yeah, not to mention the battle scene towards the middle when he's already a hardened warrior and he's fighting that big giant Viking at the middle of the bridge, right? In that bridge scene in the UK. Oh, that was awesome. And, you know, I barely escaped. That was a great fight scene. Then the second fight scene that he had with him a few episodes later where they meet up in the snow. It's just brilliant how vicious this young kid is because he just wants revenge. But fortunately, he's never going to be able to get his revenge for one reason and one reason only, the fact that he isn't good enough to fight his father's murderer, you know, or his new surrogate father, pretty much. Because this man did become Thorfinn's surrogate father. Whether he wanted to admit it or not, he did become a surrogate father in a way. But yeah, this to me was a brilliant series. It had a lot of heart, a lot of, intrigue. I just really enjoyed it. So again, it's Vinland Saga. Check it out. It's on Netflix. It's on Crunchyroll, I think. It's one of on animated platforms. So with that out the way, let's move on to the main event. And that is The Black Phone.
I'll be home in the morning.
Where are you going?
I'm staying over at Susie's tonight.
What's new? The flyer.
The papers call him the grabber.
I wish you wouldn't call him that.
You don't actually believe that story, do you? Because he can't hear you, and he doesn't really take kids that safe.
Oh! You goof. Well, isn't that just peachy keen?
You need some help?
You see that? Yeah. Would you hand me my hat? Yes, sir. I am a part-time magician.
Are those Dr. Lowe's in there?
Would you like to see a magic trick?
Hello?
Don't hang up.
Who are you?
You know all our names?
Now, that was a quick trailer for The Black Phone, starring Manson Thomas, Madeline McGraw, Ethan Hawke, and Jeremy Davis, just to name some of this cast. Now, a quick synopsis for this is, a small town in Colorado is on the edge after the disappearance of 5 children. Soon, Finney Shaw is also kidnapped and locked in a basement. The young boy discovers a nearby phone that transmits the voices of the other victims who try to help lead Finney to safety. And yeah, that is really the whole movie. It's this dark thriller of children being kidnapped. And this guy, played by Ethan Hawke, who is just a very sick individual, he retrofitted his basement to be soundproof, and he just keeps the kids there for as long as he wants. He plays games with them. Like, for instance, he would leave the door open just a little bit to make sure to have them think they have a chance of escaping. But reality, he's just waiting for them upstairs so he can start whipping them because they're misbehaving. They're breaking the rules. They try to escape. And that's his little game. But because of this phone, Finney is able to circumvent all these little games that he likes to play. And he's getting frustrated. And yeah, this is really a really cool film. Also, Finney's sister, she's pretty much a clairvoyance. She has clairvoyancy, whatever it's called. I don't know. She can see images of things and or dead people and stuff like that. So she's a medium or something like that. But yeah, she got these powers because of her mother. And unfortunately for both of them, they have a bastard father who just gets drunk and beats them because he's an alcoholic, drunk, abusive father. But he does it because their mother committed suicide. Like, she ended up committing suicide because of her abilities. They thought that she was sick, you know, mentally ill and whatnot. And then the girl starts having these dreams. And unfortunately, the father has a thing where if she talks about her dreams, he ends up trying to beat her. He doesn't even want sound inside the house. The cops hear about this. The cops talk to her about her visions that she had a dream about, because she told one of the girls in her class is the sister of one of the boys that got kidnapped, and she told her that to look for black balloons or whatever. And that information was never given out by the police to anyone. So how did she know about the black balloons? But yeah, this film is really, really dark. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. Is it worth watching? I say yes. I enjoyed myself very much with this one. It did keep me glued to the TV. It was ridiculously entertaining. I wanted to see what everything it comes up with and all that. So if you have a chance, or if you're into this type of dark, you know, horror thrillers, I suggest you watch it. And yeah, give it a shot, The Black Phone. But now let's move on into spoilers.
Well, it does have...
Yeah, spoilers!
Okay, so we're in spoilers. And yeah, and oh my gosh, this movie is so good when it comes to its narrative and how vicious this guy is, because Finney is able to see... Actually, no, he's not able to see. Sorry, he's not able to see, but we are able to see them... The kids, every time the phone rings, it's one of the kids telling him what they did before when they were stuck there, right? And thus, he's able to look for those clues, able to try to get out and, you know, come up with these plans. And at one point, he actually exits the house and, you know, and he starts running, he starts getting away, and he's almost free, but the guy ends up catching him. I got so disappointed, but... I saw that coming, that, yeah, he's going to get free, he's going to escape, but the guy still catches him. It's a very simple trope. It's done a lot. And he's bringing him back. So the next thing is, he's going to have to kill him. How is he going to be able to have to kill him? Right? His sister, and at the same time, his sister keeps getting these visions. She feels that these visions are visions from God, right? And she's just constantly praying to God. You know, telling him, why are you showing me this? You're not helping me. Like, what good are these visions when you're not showing me anything that could help me find my brother, right? And then she finally gets these visions of this house and where it is. She calls the police, right? She runs home, calls the police, and tells them where the house is. This is towards the ending. As you know, this, if you're already here, if you listen to this, you're in spoilers. And yeah, brilliant, brilliant style. I really like that. She didn't just try to go into the house by herself. She actually called, you know, did her what she was supposed to do, which is run home, call the police, and have them take care of it. But unfortunately, it's the right house, but the wrong house at the same time. It's the right house where the dead bodies are at, but it's the wrong house on where Finn is being held. He was being held across the street. And at the same time that the police are checking the house, he's over there fighting the guy because he took all the things that these other kids, you know, put in there, told them how to prepare, make a trap and all that. Make a trap for this monster played by Ethan Hawke, right? And he ends up killing him. He ends up strangling Ethan Hawke and ends up just by strangling him. And yeah, that's how he ends up escaping. Because of all those situations, all those traps that those kids ended up doing and setting up, all those setups that those kids ended up doing, he was able to create this elaborate trap and was able to strangle Ethan Hawke and escape that way. And then, you know, he comes out, he sees his sister and all that. And they get hugged, the father comes, they hug, and the father apologizes for being, you know, such an asshole and whatnot. But yeah. Again, this is a brilliant film for the most part. I enjoyed it. Does it make a whole lot of sense? Why is there a phone, you know, still there? No, it doesn't make any sense why the guy left that phone there. But who cares? It's the whole premise of the film anyway. The black phone. So, yeah, this is why I'm going to leave it. I feel myself getting worse right now. But I hope you enjoy yourselves. Thank you for staying here this long and continuing to listen. And remember, anything and everything I talk about has links in the show notes. Don't forget that you can reach me on Twitter, JLPlay78, and also by email, JLPlaysPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about my Patreon at patreon.com/JLPlays. All of this has links for you in the show notes. Yeah, and thank you again for staying this long. And if you're new here, thank you for listening to this podcast. And hopefully you come back next time. And if you're recurring, thank you for being a recurring listener. I truly appreciate it. And I truly appreciate all the support that you have given me so far. And remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.